Hello and welcome to October 2023's edition of Library Chat. I'm Jody Aldini, Access Services Librarian.
I'm Angie Howe, Technical Services Librarian.
And I'm Leland Smith, Service Specialist with the IMC.
And welcome to October 13th. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. If we sound a little different today, it's because we got new equipment to record podcasts on. In the recording studio, so it might sound a lot clearer. Let us know your thoughts and any suggestions you might have. But yeah, so we're recording on new equipment today, and we're testing it out. So let us know if it comes through all good and fine for everyone. So our layout for today is we're going to do the October Book Club. And we all read What Happened to the Bennets by Lisa Scottolini. How do you guys pronounce her last name? Yes.
Yes. You nailed it.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, so for the synopsis for the book was, after Jason Bennett and his family have an encounter with carjackers with ties to a drug trafficking organization, the Bennets are enrolled in the Witness Protection Program, but their lives begin to fall apart as they try to adjust to life in the program, and Jason realizes he needs to take matters into his own hands. So what are your guys' thoughts on the book? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Overall opinions?
Well, I liked it.
Have you read anything by her? Anything else by her?
I think so, but I don't remember.
So this was my first book by her.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Wasn't my absolute favorite, but it was a pretty good read.
No, it wasn't my favorite either, but it wasn't one that it bored me and I turned it off, I guess. You know what I mean? There are books that I've done that, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I can't get into this, so I turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I if it wasn't for having to read it for this, I would not have finished at all. Just some of the stuff, like, I couldn't get past, and yeah, it just wasn't my cup of tea. I've read other books by her and really have enjoyed her other books. This one was by far my least favorite of hers. Are you guys ready to get in the questions?
Oh, I am so ready.
Okay.
Jody?
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you have a question?
No.
Oh.
No, I was just going to say when we were talked earlier, but you said, save it for in here. So
I was like, quit talking about the book. We have to record it for the podcast.
Yeah. So I'll wait until we get closer to the what and then I'll say what I said. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. What did you guys like most about the book and what did you like least?
I feel like at the very start of the book, I was very drawn in. By the scene, kind of like getting to know the characters, like really getting a connection to them pretty quickly. I feel like that was really cool, really awesome to see. What I didn't like, it just kind of felt like the tone of the book changed drastically and was kind of all over the place. It went from being like really serious to being more of like a cheesy crime movie kind of feel. It just kind of threw me off a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Once I start breaking it down, here this guy is a court reporter, right? And then, but he goes out and he solves the crime. I mean, like you said, oh, better than the FBI and the, you know, so he goes out and he solves everything.
Yeah. I read a review and they nicknamed him Saint Jason. I was like, that was perfect. I did like the opening scene. Like the part I like most and least in the book is the same scene, like where they do attempt to get carjacked, or they actually do get carjacked. Do they?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
well, not really, because the guy just takes off and leaves their car.
Oh, yeah, because he shoots his buddy and then takes off in the original car.
Yeah and they blame the murder on him. And,
So I like that scene the most because it was so, like, it drew you in and was action-packed. I liked it the least because they did kill off the daughter. So that was very sad. So my favorite and least favorite scene are the same one.
But I also feel like because it was so impactful that the daughter died just that quick in the book and you felt something, that's really cool, like building that character up so quickly to like make that connection of like you or very sad to see this person die when you just met them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really neat. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also made me very sick, though, that they killed off the daughter so quick.
Yeah.
Did your opinion of this book change as you read it? Or was it the same throughout the book?
Well, I suppose, you know, like you say, you got drawn in with that first scene and then, but as it went on, I still liked it, but I'm like, it's so hokey. He's going to go out and solve this crime all by himself. You know, he comes up with this elaborate plan to sneak out and drive off and, but I still liked it. I read it twice. I don't know. I'm goofy.
Yeah, I had really high hopes at the beginning, so mine kind of like started off high and then it just went down. But yeah, I finished it, so.
Well, and I guess I was drawn in enough that I wanted to know, okay, well, who's behind all this? Regardless of the hokiness and him, who's actually behind why this happened? And so that's why I stayed around, I guess. Wanted to know who did it.
Yeah, who done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. If the FBI advised your family to join a WITSEC program, would you go and why?
I mean, FBI, go into this witness protection program. I feel like I would.
Okay.
I wouldn't really question it. It would be really hard, really tough, just disappear. But
why do you think you would have to go into the witness protection?
I don't know. Like,
what are you capable of? Well, see,
I went to a coffee shop. Okay, here's the story. And I sat my phone down. I paid. I picked my phone up. I walked away. It wasn't my phone.
Oh.
And that is why I'm now in witness protection, because I turned in this phone and it belongs to someone pretty heinous. And now I'm involved. So this is going to be my first book I'm going to publish, okay?
Oh, okay.
Copyright this right now.
Miss Judy.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I think I would if I got to go to, like, Canada or Alaska.
Depends on where you go.
Be like, I don't know, like, where are you going to send me? Because otherwise I'll just stay here. And I don't even know what – it would probably be for something so silly like illegal street racing. And the only reason I say that is because one of my earliest memories is with my dad and my sister, and me and my sister, like, we're young. Like, we're 3 and 5. We're in the backseat. No car seat. And my dad's illegally drag racing down some of them, like, random, like, 2-lane highway in the middle of, like, Missouri or Iowa or somewhere. It'd be that. It would be for, like, illegal redneck street racing or something.
Yeah, I couldn't think of why I would go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to murder anyone. I'm not going to steal or rob any place.
But where would you be if the place got robbed?
Walgreens.
We just went there.
I was like, we were just there 2 days ago, Jody.
Oh, I could have witnessed something, I suppose.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like kind of like your phone thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be scary.
I feel like yours would be a package was delivered incorrectly and it had incriminating evidence for like a drug ring or something like that.
Oh.
Or somehow you accidentally got hold of like a flash drive or a thumb drive or a toaster, and it was not yours. It had a whole bunch of files on it that you shouldn't.
I mean, you know those crime rings. They always have an Excel spreadsheet that details everything, right?
Yep. Sure do. In this book, they would.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had to leave your home suddenly, which objects would be the most meaningful for you to leave behind and why?
To leave behind?
So, yeah. Which objects would be the hardest to leave behind and why?
Hardest to leave behind.
Yeah. Let's go with that. Hardest to leave behind. I think mine would – I would need to take my animals with me.
Yeah.
But also, like, they would be the hardest to leave behind because my two older cats I've had for 14 years now. And then the kitten, I mean, she's 2.5. So those would definitely be the hardest to leave behind. But I would demand to take those. Be like, literally, you can put them in a box. Just, you know, poke a couple air holes.
Yeah.
Does it need to be separate boxes? Just get one. They'll all snuggle in.
It'll be fine. We'll make it work in a pinch.
I mean, for me, I would say all of the pictures and photo albums I have of just events, like leaving that stuff behind, that'd be really tough.
Family pictures.
Because there's only so many you can just quickly grab and put in that backpack.
Because if if you're going into witness protection, you're not going to see your family again.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're coming with you. Unless they're the whole reason you're even in there.
Well, 'tis true.
Yeah. How do you think the events of the novel would have unfolded differently if Allison had survived the attack?
I feel like the family wouldn't have been as distant when they first went into witness protection. Because they did kind of, separate off and do their own thing. There wasn't a lot of communication. But I feel like if Allison did survive the initial attack, it would have been the opposite. I feel like they would have been there. And also, the secrets probably wouldn't have been aired so easily.
Well, another thing is when they first go into the program, they're dealing with this huge life change. Like, they have to leave behind their old life and adapt to this new life. But they're also grieving at the same time. So they have two major life events going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if Allison had survived and had been with them, they would have only had to deal with one major life change instead of two. So I think they would have maybe adapted a little bit better and easier and quicker.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They would have been more accepting of it as to why they had to go and they were all together.
Yeah. They seem to, like, fight it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think without that grief aspect, they would have, adapted a little bit better. But you never know. Like, grief does funny things.
Although, if you look at the story, too – if she hadn't died, then they wouldn't have had a funeral that they couldn't go to. And that would have prevented a lot of strife between them and the people, trying to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't start, venturing and trying to break rules and try and get access to social media.
And that's
I feel like it just kind of spirals down.
Okay. And who gave him a computer with access to social media?
Well, the stupid FBI person. the phones, too.
Like, they can limit that. That was unbelievable.
Facebook blocked.
Right. It's like, that was one of the things I wrote down. I was like, why was social media not banned on their computers and phones? It's like, really, really? They would have been banned.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Ban everything but Netflix, that way, get on, watch whatever you want, but no more.
that one I didn't believe.
You're right. I thought that too. I thought, oh, really? Come on now.
Uh-huh.
In real life, that would not have happened.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so next question. The novel has many twists and turns. Did you guess any of them ahead of time? And if so, at, what point? So one I figured out was when they kept stating that St. Jason was having an affair. I was like, oh, nope, it's the other one. It's always the other one.
Yeah.
So that one, and I can't remember. I think it's when that online detective came into the story and mentioned that, something. I can't remember the exact words. But when he came onto the scene and it was like, the husband's having an affair, he did whatever. I was like, nah, I'm thinking this is going to be a flipperoo and it's going to be the wife. So that was when I thought, I was like, that might be it. And then, turns out it was.
I'm sure there was, but I can't remember. Because usually when I'm listening to those books, I'm talking out loud to myself. And I said, I bet. I bet this is going to happen. Or this is the way that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. But
I had a feeling the wife's affair was going to tie back in. like more seriously and have like some deep connection. And I knew, but how it did, I didn't quite imagine that, but I knew it was going to play some role. Otherwise, why is it there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So next question is, several characters in the novel cite their everyday superpowers, air quotes. Jason's lip reading or Allison's texting without looking at the keyboard, for example. How else do you think this novel explores the heroism of everyday people? Another one that I thought of was Lucinda, how she was always there for her family, like, you know, making sure the kid, like the house was taken care of and the kids were taken care of and St. Jason was taken care of. So,
but you call him St. Jason.
And I will explain that later. But yeah, her, you know, superpower was being there for her family and making sure they were all taken care of. Before she was taking care of herself. So that was, to me, that was her superpower.
Yeah, until she had her affair.
Well, yeah. That... Minor details.
Minor details, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Did that little boy have a power?
Oh, he did. The sister had told him that his was, he was very stubborn, and he had that stick to it, and he just would not give up, and that was his.
Mm-hmm.
That got brought up like at the very end when they're looking for the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's the one who really kept on having to find this dog. What was the name of the dog?
Mooney.
Do you think Jason's motivation to take action into his own hands went beyond the desire to protect his family from Milo? What else do you think might have affected his decisions? I think his background, like he did have that lawyer background, and the court reporter background, so just that built-in curiosity for figuring things out, I think that's really what helped him be able to solve this case.
That, and I think part of it too is that he felt his wife was disappointed in him and his career path because he wasn't more successful. And so I think maybe part of it, you know, because he kind of knew, you know, that that she was looking for somebody with a, you know, more prominent career, and he was just the court reporter. Mm-hmm. And so he felt like she kind of didn't appreciate him or, you know, his career path and thought maybe he wasn't as ambitious or something, and maybe he had something to prove to her as well.
Sorry, I'm going through my list of questions and being like, which ones have we not answered?
That's all right.
Because I never answer these in order or ask them in order, which probably would make things a lot easier, but that's not how I do.
That's not what this podcast
is about.
That's not how I do.
What do you think will happen to the Bennets after the novel ends? How do you see Jason, Lucinda, and Ethan, you know, changing their lives? What do you expect or imagine their story to continue to be like?
Well, they got to really start all over because the house is gone, the businesses are gone. I don't know. I think maybe he'll look into maybe going in and becoming a lawyer or investigator, or you know, he'll go back and try to live up to his wife's expectations, even though she realized that's what she was doing, and she realized that she did love him for him and what have you. But I think maybe he might try and live up to what she was originally looking for.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think Ethan would go into some type of career, like maybe counseling or even like a investigator or a reporter, just because he had this, you know, life-changing experience at a pivotal time in his life. I think that would really impact what he decided to do with a career, either, you know, counseling victims, like social work, something like that, or even being on the opposite end and going like full investigator, like reporter, FBI, something like that. So that's why I guess.
Or even in the medical field, you know, because thinking, you know, why couldn't his sister be saved? You know, maybe he could do something to
Yeah.
You know, he could save someone or something.
Yeah. He would try to do something to where he could help others.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
On a side note, we have Josh Estabrook in here. He's our producer.
Hello.
Is that what you want? You're the producer, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, we're calling a producer.
Now he's going to want to go read this book now, aren't you, Josh?
Absolutely.
With all the spoilers we are throwing out there.
Oh, wait till we get to the reviews.
Oh, I cannot wait.
So one of the things that really, really stuck with me and that I kept going back to was they said the Witsec never had a family before. And it's like, really? Really? They've never had a family before? I must watch way too. It's like Ozarks. It's like, that has nothing to do with witness protection, but it was a family.
Right. You know, it's funny because it's funny how you pick things apart, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
Like, remember, well, you wouldn't remember, you're too young, but when the Terminator first came out.
Oh.
And I went with the, I don't know who I went to see with. And I said, okay, so have you seen it, The Terminator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And, you know, okay, so these cyborgs are after Sarah Connor because she has this son, John Connor. But the dad of John Connor comes from the future. I said, how is that even possible? And my brother said, it's a movie. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't question the trippy time jumps.
Yeah.
Like, whenever time's involved, the storylines get wild and hectic and crazy, and you just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
It makes sense. Otherwise, the universe will implode and we all just disappear.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I do really love it. So it's funny because I picked apart this book, but Terminator, I love.
Jody is just stunned.
No, I did too. I liked it too. But
I've even watched the new ones, and I think I have a couple of the newer ones on DVD. They're just so good.
I don't know if I watched past the second one, to be honest with
you. Okay. Yeah, so there's Genesis, and then I think the last one's called Dark Fate, if I remember correctly. It was good. I really liked the last one because Linda Hamilton comes back and reprises her role. So in
who?
Sarah Connor.
Who would you call her?
Linda Hamilton.
Oh, I thought you said Lynette. I don't think that's her name.
Linda.
Close.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Close, but no dice.
Yeah.
So yeah, she comes back and reprises her role as Sarah Connor and actually leads this like new group and is like the mentor for them. But now she's older and she's a lot more snarky and it's great.
I'm gonna have to check into that.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I don't like sequels.
Uh-huh.
Because usually they're stupid. But
yes.
But
I feel like there's been three. So did they have – was it Terminator 1 through 3 or just 1 and 2?
See, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, wait. I want to say it's 3. Terminator 1, 2, and 3. Josh, do you know?
There's a bunch.
I think there's – well, the original back in the 80s or whatnot.
I'm pretty sure it's 1, 2, and 3.
I think there was 3 and then they came back and redid it. And I think there's 3 more that I – well, I remember 3 storylines. So, yeah.
So Angie's actually from the future and she's seen the future Terminators and that's why she's so confused right now.
Oh, could be.
There's 6 of them.
6.
She was right.
Okay, so some of the reviews that I found on Goodreads, I found one that was not enthused with this book, did not like this book, and then I found one that did. So I thought I would read a little bit of each one. So the one that did like it said, "My heart was literally in my mouth. Tough position, but this book made me try it. Another outstanding action-packed intense story keeps you on your toes, makes you sit on the edge of your seat, or forces you to hit the glass so hard and scream for somebody to get you out of here. Anyways, my hair is still up if it's been electrocuted, especially that heart-shattering opening scene made me gasp. I literally devoured the chapters and finished it in one sitting. As a fan of the author, I highly recommend this mind-blowing thriller. So they seem to – yeah, they finished it in one sitting.
See, isn't it funny how different – well, everybody has different tastes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the one that was not as nice or did not like the book – the story starts off with a bang when Jason Bennett, a.k.a. St. Jason, that's totally where I got it, his wife, Lucinda, and their children, Allison and Ethan, are carjacked. Things take a horrific turn and the family's lives are forever changed. From here, the story took a sharp downhill turn. There was a lot of repetitiveness and the author did... if the author did any little bit of research into a subject. No, another sentence said, no mundane detail was too minor to include on every page, and I should have DNF'd the book when I got to the part about characters putting away groceries individually. One by one.
Mm-hmm. First, the tomatoes, then the cabbage, and then the eggs.
Yeah.
But don't forget the milk.
Yeah, it says the first half of the book focuses on how perfect St. Jason's family is, and there are lots and lots and lots of thoughts. Lots of thoughts. The characters were stereotypical and perfect, and then bam, at 50%, the book turns into an action movie. Jason figures out the FBI can't protect them, so St. Jason turns into Superman and does what he must do to protect his family. The crazy turns and twists weren't supposed to be funny, but they made me chuckle and my eyes roll. So, yeah, I would probably more agree with that review.
I definitely would not agree with the first review. I mean – she made it sound like, or he, whoever,
yeah,
made it sound like it was the greatest thing ever published, and it's far from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Jody, you like to – you read it twice.
I did because I – well, once because I wanted to read it. The second time I thought I need to review it, mm-hmm, for this. And as I listened to – I must not have resonated very well with me. But anyway, like I said, I like the whodunit and how they –
yeah.
But I would like to – I would like to have had the FBI figured out, not the court reporter.
Right.
But
also the corrupt FBI agent in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name. Yeah.
Wiki, right?
Is that
it? That was the nickname, right? Wiki?
Wiki, that it could be.
Pretty sure. Because he had all these facts, so he was like a Wikipedia.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But just out of the blue – like, oh, he's a dirty FBI agent. It's like, okay. Like, no information, no back. Like, okay, cool. This is happening. Neat.
Another thing that I kept thinking about was the pet ashes in the wooden box.
Mm-hmm.
It survived a fire.
Yeah.
I was like, a wooden box survived a fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Two wooden boxes, well, not two fires.
But. Also, the door frame molding that's probably in the center of the house with all the markings of the heights.
Yes.
That survived the fire, too.
Yes.
But it was so terrible, nothing else survived. But
those
box
two things. Mm-hmm.
And this archway of a door, probably on the first floor, because think about it, probably was in the kitchen, dining room area, common central place of the house that would probably get destroyed in a fire. Okay, cool. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The house didn't crumble in or anything.
Yeah, unless maybe the fire wasn't as bad as what we're thinking, but it kind of just – that's how the author described it was.
That it was gone.
Yeah, everything was gone.
Yeah.
Except
nothing
for
left.
This, except for this, markings and a couple boxes. So, yep. Okay. So those are the ones that really stuck with me. The social media and the box.
Yeah.
What really hit me, though, was probably at the end when it got really corny and cheesy, and they're saying they're in the, think of the words, the court, right? The courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, okay, just wait and send, and let's watch, let's see the reaction. That would never happen. Never happen. Like, the whole – that's just overdone, very cheesy.
And then what happened with that gentleman?
With the senator?
Yeah.
Well
– did they say?
The secretary, because that's the number that they got.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent it to the secretary and said, show this to him. And so they're watching and it's like, sir? And then he's like, just goes white. But like, what?
And then what?
Yeah. Like
another thing I thought was cheesy when Saint Jason went and talked to the drug lord dude.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, sitting with him and having a conversation. Yeah. Like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Also, the drug lord dude believing that Jason was this, I mean, Saint Jason.
Yeah.
Let me correct myself. Very adamant that he was the one responsible for killing the son and how he was the one with a gun that, who pulled it out. Like, he's just some random, like, soccer dad. Like,
mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we didn't grade the greatest book. But you know what?
Hey.
Somebody liked it.
Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this name.
Yeah.
I would just butcher it.
That's all right.
I can't apparently spell.
There's some A's, maybe an E in there, mm-hmm, an I.
For sure. Okay, any last thoughts on the book?
Don't take our word for it. Read it yourself. Come up with your own conclusion, you know, about it and how you feel about it and mm-hmm. the storyline goes, you know. This is just our opinion. Doesn't, mm-hmm. you know.
And stay tuned for the release of my book now. That I'm going to be writing. That's going to be a suspense thriller.
What was it about again?
You already forgot?
Yeah. Are
you
good?
Great.
I remember.
Thank you, Jody.
He goes in to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, yes.
And he picks up the wrong phone.
Oh.
And then I go in witness protection.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then Leland, the blind guy, goes and solves it all because he's better than the FBI.
Yeah. Just saying.
I would read that.
I would too.
Perfect. I'll start writing it.
All right.
But please don't go into the witness protection because then I would have to take care of your cats.
You're right. And there's only five of them, so.
And I already have three, so that would be eight.
Well, that's too many. Take them with you.
You're right.
Take them with you.
Do you want to borrow my box with holes?
I might need two for this. Okay. One for the one cat and the other for the other four.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Anyways.
So, for next month, for November, we're going to do another book/movie review, and it will be Where the Crawdads Sang by Delia Owens. So, I've read the book before. Has anybody?
No, I just started it today.
Okay.
I've mm-hmm. never seen the movie.
I've watched the movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just by chance that I happened to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting because I read the book first and then I'll watch the movie, which I haven't done. And you're going the
opposite direction.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do both at the same time. I'll sit there for the book and the movie. I'll just go town.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sounds good.
Well, that's all I got for our book club today.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
I kind of like
this new setup, though.
I do, too.
Yes.
I can hear you guys so much better.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, but we do need to get our producer his own mic, I feel, so he can chime in.
He's currently shaking his head. Nope.
he's just nodding, putting his thumb down. he doesn't seem like the idea. But this is October's podcast, so should we say happy Halloween to everyone?
Ooh, happy Halloween.
Halloween.
We should have practiced that first.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fine.
Well, we could say, sorry, Josh, cut that out. Let's
do
it again.
Josh.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today, and we will see you in November.
Bye.
Bye.